Did you ever expect that Tiger Woods would go 10 years without a major championship in basically what should be the prime of his career?
You know, Hutch, that's an interesting question. So where we are in reality, 10 years ago, Tiger won his last major. I think absolutely if anyone was asked that question 10 years ago, there wouldn't be a soul that would think what actually has come to pass. Everyone would have said yes, he would have long broken Jack's record, you know, over the next 10 years, his majors would be in the 20-somethings, and you know, we wouldn't be asking this question today.
Yeah, I mean, we actually thought that at this point, you make a good point, at this point we thought he would have broken Jack's record of 18 majors.
Totally. Well, I mean, I thought he would have been in the 22, 23, possibly 24, particularly in 10 years ago when he won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines with a broken leg.
Yeah.
You know, and that so once he takes care of business. But, you know, the world's a funny place, and karma hangs out there constantly. And if you're in denial and if you're not being truthful or owning your actions, and it has a tendency to come back at you. And now we're watching Tiger make a correction. I think we're all like, I don't know about a lot of people, but I forgive him, and I'm hoping that he gets it back on track. And wouldn't it be something if he actually happens to win this U.S. Open 10 years later?
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, you know, his last, hey, you know what? He had a tie for 11th at the Players Championship. You know, he, Memorial, you know, he put up some good scores, you know, especially in the two middle rounds, 67, yep. 68, but those were surrounded by 72. So, you know, is he quite there yet? I mean, do you see it in his game that he could possibly win a major championship from what you've seen so far?
Well, here's how I look at this. So let's look at Tiger's coming back this year. So at Torrey Pines, he came out. And, you know, he showed that his ball striking, particularly his driver, was absolutely horrendous.
Right.
It was unbelievably bad. And his putting in his short game was remarkably fantastic.
Right.
So then as he kind of starts to kind of put this thing together, and keep in mind he's always coming from this position where he's got to relearn this game based on his new body.
Right.
And I think that's quite correct. Then he makes his way through and gets himself into contention, you know, at Valspar, and makes it exciting. But his past tournament at Memorial was very interesting. You know, he finally got hot both on Saturday and Sunday, and this is where the missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle is there for him. He wasn't able to close. That was the first time we've seen Tiger Woods get into contention and fail to close.
Right.
And then also, too, is that he got his ball striking back to where it was extremely good and statistically the best that week.
Right.
But his putter has left him. So kind of Tiger goes away from each one of these learning experiences trying to answer these missing pieces of the jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
So at some point, I believe he's going to find an answer. Is it this week? We'll have to wait and see. But I think that it would be quite the story if he does solve his putting problems from his last tournament, has a great ball striking week, and also putts well. Because if he can find those missing pieces, I think he has a good chance of winning his next major.
Well, as usual, he's going to be in the fishbowl. But let's look at somebody else here. You know, somebody who has arguably as much profile as Tiger. Phil, he's coming in now, six heartbreaks at the U.S. Open, six runner-up positions, including one at Shinnecock back in 2004. Wow, you know, he's turning 48. How many more chances does he have to win the U.S. Open, Dick?
Well, I think he's, and these are long-shot chances, too. I think he's got two chances left. You know, back in at Shinnecock, he the last time he was played there, he was in contention. Phil does have this propensity to get inspired for U.S. Opens. I think he's got this one at Shinnecock. Hills this week, and I think he's got another chance next year at Pebble because he will get excited. He's going to be 49 next year. And but, you know, Hutch, I think it's really a long shot. Any time there's this desperate pressure to get this result, and the result is Phil Mickelson winning a U.S. Open to complete his career Grand Slam.
Right.
I think if he gets himself into contention, I just don't think he's going to stand up to the pressure.
Okay.
Quite frankly, if he does, it'll be one of the greatest sporting moments in history. But I think it's going to be, you know, leaving to the last moment is it's a little too much big of an ask. And it'll be I think it'll be too much pressure for Phil to handle.
Yeah, interesting story about the one at Shinnecock. He was in the bunker along 18. This came out in Golf Digest. Apparently, he was behind a rock, which a lot of people didn't know when he came out of that bunker. Of course, if you remember, the ball squirting across the green the way it did. So, you know, a lot of kind of an untold story there that's just starting to come out about that one back at Shinnecock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's all caught a bad break.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, but that's what life and golf do. Is you have to deal with the bad lies you get and overcome those barriers in order to win. So So hopefully we'll see. But the pressure's the intensity, and the pressure is as if the U.S. Open isn't enough. But this will just be augmented on Phil if he gets into the hunt and close to an opportunity to win come the weekend.
Right. Now we're talking focus. Obviously, with Dustin Johnson winning in Memphis just this past weekend, obviously regaining the number one spot in the world. I mean, is there anyone who's more of a favorite coming into Shinnecock?
Yeah, I think you can put that that group of Dustin right up there. You know, he won. Even though they're not easy in the moment, he won it as easy as one could win it. And he's comfortable with winning. It's not like it exhausted him winning in Memphis. It was a pretty impressive play. It was a good, practice for him. Justin Rose, I think, is another player. And you can put the Ricky Fowlers and the Jason Days into that. But I think leading the pack would be Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson as the favorites to, because their game fits and their temperament fits.
Right.
The requirements to succeed in the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Speaking of a past U.S. Open champ, just to go back to something that you said about Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, who's won the U.S. Open, but when you talk about Phil winning the U.S. Open, do you see the same type of thing happening for Rory with the Masters?
Well, not yet.
Okay.
If Rory gets to his mid-40s without winning the Masters, then it'll be exactly the same. But Rory has the comfort of, knowing he's got about, 18 to 20 years.
Sure, sure.
To win one of those. And I think that, he has the capability to do it. I think he will do it. It's just
right.
Not nearly as much pressure on Rory to win that and achieve that same goal that
sure.
they're after. As Phil is right now.
Yeah, so still a ways to go for Rory before that happens. But
right.
Let's talk about bad luck. I mean, Mackenzie Hughes obviously had a bit of bad luck in Memphis. He came out, went, I think it was 66, 67, he shot to qualify for the U.S. Open in Memphis. Comes out, has a great first round, and then ends up falling right off, missing the cut.
Yeah, Mackenzie's in a real difficult position. First of all, he doesn't have to worry about having a job next year. Excuse me, his victory last year keeps him exempt through not only this year but into next year. But internally, he's having he's going through a nightmare right
mm-hmm.
now. You know, the last 2 weeks he's had horrendous back nines to miss the cut by one shot.
Right.
In Memphis, he actually birdied the last hole. The last two holes to miss the cut by a shot, and so now he's spending a lot of energy with the qualifying last week. Everyone who goes into the U.S. Open this week, you're going into a meat grinder, and whether you play well or not, it will cost you. It costs you in your fuel tank. You're burning a lot of energy, and you know, and McKenzie's, you know, working his rear end off to, yeah. and spending that energy to right his ship. He doesn't want to, you know, he's got to stop the hemorrhaging from a performance point of view, and you know, we hope he does. And you know, he pulled it off a couple of years ago in the Web.com tour when he was kind of in the same position in the Web.com tour. And he quickly turned it around with a couple of victories, and then a victory a few months later on the PGA Tour.
So right.
We know he's capable of doing it. We just hope he gets on that track soon. Okay.
Well, let's draw on something from your mind, like golf. I mean, there are some positives for McKenzie. Is the fact that he did so well in qualifying. He did have that good first round in Memphis. Is there something positive that he can draw out of that? I would think so.
Oh, there's always positives. And that's one of the great things about McKenzie. He has a terrific approach. And that's the struggles, and all golfers have to deal with this. And this is the difference between making it and not making it,
right.
is your attitude. McKenzie has a terrific approach. He's, you know, it's not theory. He's actually done it in
right.
competition. So he knows what to do. It's just getting that traction on there. He's been there before.
Right.
And like he said, too, is that if he doesn't able to save this season, he'll start next season with a fresh, clean slate.
Right.
And build on that. So, you know, he's got a little bit of a safety net under him for next year, but nonetheless, this is what he's spending, and it's an attitude thing. He's showing very good signs. He's playing a lot of good golf, but at the same time, he's trying to remove that stuff that's very costly.
Okay, let's take a look at flip over to Garrett Rank, amateur coming in, three-time mid amateur champion for Canada. Is there any potential loss for Garrett Rank coming into this, or is it all positive?
Oh, it's all positive. I mean, his approach, he's not playing golf for a living. He isn't relying on a paycheck. He's a career amateur, which, you know, I think we all need to absolutely respect that. I always admire people who have the courage to stay amateur.
Sure.
And you know, so an amateur, a mid-amateur who actually qualified for the U.S. Open, those are great stories.
Sure.
And Garrett's going to go down there, you know, being an NHL official is a terrific story. He's going to go down there, absorb all that experience in that environment, and it's all gravy. It's all positive, and it's going to, he'll come out of this as one of his great experiences in his amateur golf career.
Well, you mentioned the referee part. He'll come out and be paid attention to like no other amateur, really, because of that, won't he?
Yes, and it's already started. I think, you know, that story, whether you're in Golf Channel or any media publication, is such a terrific story.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like John Schmoltz, who, you know, a
sure.
Hall of Fame pitcher qualifying for the U.S. Senior Open. These are the terrific stories that allow, you know, that happen at only U.S. Opens or Open Championships. No other story allows anybody, if your game is good enough, to attempt to qualify. You don't do it at the PGA Championship. You certainly don't get that at the Masters. And this is one of the things that's truly great about the U.S. Open and the Open Championship.
Okay. Last but not least, Adam Hadwin. He's in that position. I got to think, Dick, that he's one of those guys who could do something. He's one of those guys who's not favored going in. That's not a bad place to be, is it?
That's the perfect place to be.
Yeah.
That is the absolute perfect place to be. And I think, you know, Adam has shown so much progress in his steps to ascend. You know, anytime he gets into new situations that are high pressure, I am just amazed at how well he handles them. You know, I call it he's very comfortable in that white hot spotlight.
Right.
It's a rock star mentality. So if and Hadwin's game is very sound, and he hasn't even been playing well to this point. So if he starts playing well, and if he finds himself into contention in a U.S. Open, I think he's going to revel in it, and
mm-hmm.
he's going to you know, continue to play well and do well. And that's what really bodes well for him. So he's not going to be, you know, like a deer caught in the headlight if he's in contention in the U.S. Open. He's got all the tools, you know, physically and mentally to handle that situation quite well.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting week, that's for sure. You know, obviously with Shinnecock and, you know, some of the main characters coming in. And you know what? I bet we're going to have a controversy. You know, one thing I want to come back and talk to you about later this week, Dick, is this controversy that's going on about backstopping. I know it's something that you like to follow, and it's something that you're very passionate about. So let's come back and talk about that later in the week, okay?
You betcha. And one of the things that I just want to end on is, you know, what I love about U.S. Opens is, mm-hmm. you know, this is, it's hell week, like graduating from as a SEAL. And, you know, every person, even the champion, is going to be confronted with a tremendous amount of adversity, mm-hmm. and the champion will be the last man standing. I love that.
Sounds good. Okay, Dick, we'll come back to you and talk about that backstopping issue later in the week, okay?
Thanks so much, Hutch. Always a pleasure.
Okay, Dick.